Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Lincoln County's Public Information Officer, Casey Miller, and with us today is Commissioner Terry Thompson. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Before we get started with Terry, I did want to remind our listeners that if you are applying for licensing on the short-term rental dwellings and are interested in being grandfathered in for those occupancy caps, those applications must be submitted no later than December 31st. More information is on Lincoln County's website. You can take a look at it there, and you'll find the details. Terry, thanks for coming in this morning.
Boy, you must have been scraping the bottom of the barrel this morning.
I am pleased to have you on. I consider it to be an opportunity. Kind of wanted to do a little walk down memory lane of what things maybe look like on the Bayfront and how research and collaboration has kind of evolved here in Lincoln County. But before we do that, just put into context how important research, commercial fishing is to this economy here in Lincoln County.
Well, it's been a few years since we did an economic study now, but it's economy, fishing, and tourism are about a push now, I would think. It's depending. I think they've had a real good year in the tourist industries, but it's basically around 10% of our total economy comes out of that. And the biggest amount is retirees and senior citizens and secondhand and money that comes in from investments. Those are the big, big money generators in the county. But as far as job producing, fishing and tourism is about this, and then timber, and then coming up fast is the marine science business. I mean, you're looking at it at 4 or 5%, and with bringing the new campus, possibly, I mean, with the money's here, we're going to build it. It's just a matter of how long it takes us to get it built, but it's moving forward. We've like 95% of all the money raised, 98% of all the money raised for it. So, and that's about 4 or 5% too. So it's come up a long ways. It was only about 1% of the economy 10, 15 years ago.
You know, several years ago, you really pushed to have that study done to get a look at snapshot right now. You know, where the economy was at related to these industries, and why was that important to do?
Well, I'm a believer that you have to know the real numbers. A lot of times there's perception by people, and so you hire legitimate economists who, in this case, OSU's economists, to really evaluate your economy. Then you can make better decisions of how your economy grows. Like, in the fishing industry, it grows in sawtooths, but it's going up. And the tourism has dips depending related to the economy, but it's more consistent. But in fishing, it's really up and down. And, of course, Marine Science Center, it's coming up strong, and it's been coming up as we got NOAA and more scientists into the area. And we're running out of space over there at the Hatfield Marine Science Center. There's more people that can come here and bring their research or science to here. We have the potential to be one of the top places in the world.
You know, you've evolved into somebody who seems to live in all the dimensions, whether it's the research, it's the commercial fishing. You exist on all these areas. But tell me, what did the Bayfront look like 30 years ago? I mean, do you remember when that Marine Science Center was built?
Well, 1960, I can remember what it was like because I was here as a, well, 59-60, I was raised on the waterfront. I mean, literally lived just above the waterfront and was raised there. And since I was in, from the time I was about 6 years old, I was around the waterfront. And then, but when I was a freshman in high school, marine science wasn't what it is today by any means.
It
was basically about four to six guys in the back of an aluminum shed out here for ODF&W that were doing clam surveys. And there was a guy who worked there named Dale Snow. He had big tanks, and it was the only aquarium type tanks anywhere around. And he was studying how crabs molt and how crabs grow. He had a lot to do with designing our current crab regulations that allow us to take male crabs above 6 1/4 inches, because he figured out that most of the females were smaller than that, and all the females that were there was enough males left on the grounds to spawn with them, so we could literally take almost all of the crab over 6 1/4 inches off the grounds, yet repopulate for the next year class. And the declines and increases were based on oceanographic changes rather than overfishing, which made us a very stable, it went up and down, but we weren't destroying the resource, which to me as a kid was, this was a huge,
interesting
population to say that, hey, we can take this resource and still protect the future fisheries. And of course, when you're a high school kid, I was just trying to catch crab and catch fish in the bay and wanted to learn. And he'd always take time to talk to me without realizing this guy was going to change my life and make me so interested in marine science.
Yeah.
And the other guys were nice, too. They talked to me about clams because I was commercial clam digging in the bay. There was a couple other kids, the yeks, that were in there commercial clam digging. And we used to get $3 for a 5-gallon bucket of cockle clams. And it was good life.
Well, interesting that this would become a foreshadowing,
right?
You know, of where you would eventually go. And this is kind of coming out of left field here, but did Jacques Cousteau and, you know, that kind of research, do you remember that? Did that affect you at all?
Well, I was already quite a bit older than that when Jacques Cousteau was doing all this publicity. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I was more interested in what was going on here, because this is where I live.
Yeah.
This is where I dealt with the fish. But it's always interesting about anything that's going on anywhere in the oceans in the world. It's just this massive thing to try to understand, and we're a long ways from it. We're a long ways from understanding what's going on here, but we've learned a tremendous amount. I never thought I'd see the knowledge base that we have today. Like last night I was talking to a potential candidate for a person that studies the genes of fish, a genomic scientist. We're looking to hire one at the Marine Science Center, and it was interesting. The guy was real sharp, and I'm sure all of these scientists are real sharp, but people say, well, why do you want to study genes of fish? Doesn't that seem like, and to some people, it seems like a waste of time. But to me, it's not. This is cutting edge. This is the future, because the ocean's like a black box. It's not like land where you go over and say, oh, there's so many trees out here in the forest. You can't really tell, and you can't, since things move, you can't tell they move. Mm. But by studying the genes of the fish, we can see how they mix, how they work together and we make distinct populations. You can have a species, but it doesn't give you the distinct populations.
Yeah.
And that's going to make a difference whether we overfish on these stocks or not. And so it's cutting-edge science. It's coming into place. We got a lot of work to do. And it's going to take some really good scientists in this area to help manage our populations in the future.
Talking to Commissioner Terry Thompson, let's take a quick break. We'll be back on Connections. We're back with Commissioner Terry Thompson on Lincoln County Connections, talking about the ocean and research. Terry, do you remember a point, any kind of a tipping point, when it really became apparent that sustainability was something the industry, and I'm saying looking at it from the fishing industry side now, that it was going to be critical to the future of the industry?
Well, you got to stop and think what fisheries were at that time and say, is there a tipping point?
Are we going back to the 70s here?
Well, you're going back earlier than that. I mean, fishermen always want to make sure there's fish for the future. That's a given. The problem is, do they have science they trust and believe in? And today, this fleet here is particularly innovative. We have a lot of really sharp people that came from all different kinds of fields that are in the fishing industry, and like excluder devices so that you only catch the species that you're after. A lot of those came with effort and combinations between ODF&W or NOAA and the fishing industry, because they may have an idea or a concept, But it's when the fishermen get a hold of the idea and are willing to put it on their boats and then adapt and tweak it to make it efficient for this fishery that they're mm-hmm. involved in. And that's one of the things that this port leads in is trying to create excluder devices so you can only catch the species you're after. And we've done a good job in a lot of species. In other ones, we've got challenges and things we need to learn in the future. An example is in the shrimp fishery. I don't know who brought it. I think it was originally started in Europe. The lights that you put on the bottom of a shrimp net now mm-hmm. at the mouth of the net so that the fish smelt. We were worried about catching too much smelt because the population was going down. I don't think it was driven by overfishing, but literally the ocean conditions are changing and there was less around, so we needed to quit catching them. So they put these lights on the foot rope, and the smelt just rose up over the net and wouldn't go into the net, and the shrimp would come up clean. And then ODF&W, I believe, was one of the early people that it actually started as a turtle excluder device, which let the turtles out of the net in the Gulf of Mexico, but it was a grate that was in the back of the net. They started with different soft grates, and the fishermen tried and found things that worked, and then one guy would compare with the others. And now today we know how wide to put the fingers of the grate, and the fish swim into the front of the net, and the shrimp don't swim as fast as the fish. And so the fish hit the grate, and they just swim out a hole in the top of the net. And the shrimp go back through these fingers, and they get almost perfectly clean shrimp today and no bycatch, which before, when I shrimped years ago, we'd run in the 15-20% for the season mm-hmm. of fish.
Do you think prior to populations growing and an industrialized approach, whatever that means, for catching fish and was there always a discussion about, on some levels, the human influence on catching? I mean, there's been an ebb and flow that just exists regardless of human influence.
I think any fisherman that's been around is always worried about the future. I mean, you can catch them all today and be out of business in the future and you invested all the money. He's got to be worried about it. The big difference is the people that are in the ocean see the dynamic changes, but they can't quantify it. So we need the scientists to work with us to create the numbers so that we can really start to manage, and they make mistakes.
Yeah.
They go by the best data they can. A lot of times they build computer models. They make mistakes. They're going by the best science, and that's one of the problems is a lot of time fishermen see something going on in the ocean that's the numbers haven't got to the scientists yet, or they didn't do the survey at the right time and they didn't get the true picture of it. But that's just the nature of the beast. Like I say, that's a black box out there, and you're trying to reach inside the black box, and you want every tool you can to get the numbers right.
Yeah. Commissioner Terry Thompson talking about the ocean on Lincoln County Connections. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Connections, Commissioner Terry Thompson. Terry, I remember when you began talking about how important education was, and I realized what a champion you were for kids being involved in marine research. Why is that important?
Well, scientists are made, not born. Fishermen are made, not born. They may be born into the family, and they get exposed to it, but it's exposure. And for young people, you don't know who the next one's going to be. When I see I know a couple kids that I've met that they love to fish. They love to sport fish. That's what they want to do. That's something that when you get a passion, you find the passion and you try to get the kids to capitalize it. When I was a kid walking down the street, I had a passion for it. Take some time with those kids because you don't know what they're going to do the rest of their life. It may be the person who finds that there's an enzyme in fish that creates humans to have longer life. You don't know what's going to happen. But if you don't spend the time cultivating them when they're young, they don't even have a chance to find out what their own interests are. Some people are going to be great musicians, and people will do it. But I look at it as if I can get a kid interested in just going over and looking at a jellyfish and saying, wow, that's cool. I'd like to know how that fish swims or how it lives. Who knows? Someday he may find something that is his passion. And that's what you're when you're really successful in life, when you find your passions. And then you get to work with your passions.
So our unique area, I mean, it's like we're a melting pot here in Central County.
We are unique because we have a big fleet nationally, one of the top fleets in the world, not in the world, but we're a big fleet by fishery standards. We have some of the best scientists in the world right here, and they're your next-door neighbor. The more time they can spend talking together and understanding the ocean, because fishermen see things in the ocean, and they can tell the scientist, and then they go look for the reasons why. We will accomplish more than when you have a bunch of scientists sitting over here way away from the ocean and a bunch of fishermen sitting over here. You'll develop conflicts when you put them together and they're your next door neighbor. And over time, I think the conflicts melt away and it makes for better science and better fishing.
So what are some of the exciting things you see coming down the pipeline? Well, make a comment about the campus expansion.
Well,
I mean,
that's
how huge can that be for us?
How huge?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be like asking, you know, how high is high? The next step is what I'd say is get this campus built, get 500 students every 2 years in the last 2 years of their college to have more experience with the ocean, more contact. As they get here, they'll have more contact with fishermen. I talk to young kids all the time. I particularly just flat enjoy. A lot of times the kids come to ask me, well, what's the history like? Because a lot of it isn't written down in a book. And talking about things and stuff that I saw, and they tell me what they're seeing. I got to know a few of the Coast Guard guys here in town, and I'm just like, wow, there's some good guys here in this area that have watched some of the things they do. Same with scientists. We got young scientists, and the more interaction like that, the better complete picture we have. And this new campus is going to be the next big step. I want to see the University of Oregon Law School. I want to see the best of the best come in here, because today the ocean is a lot about laws as well as fishing or science. And get that mixture. Make this the context. One of the things that's different about this campus is going to be it's going to be a more of an open learning center there. So you make contacts with your different experiences. And there's going to be students coming from all over the world. It's not just about the Pacific, but my goal is to make us the best place in the world to study the Pacific, but it reflects all over the world.
So if we have young kids, how do we get them involved? What do we do with them to... We know
it's ironic you should ask that question because you have a young kid that's the right age. Well, I always say if the parents show some interest in just even going over to the aquarium and show interest in what's going on, or in your case, you've got a kid that lives close to the bay, go down and show them what looks like just a bunch of mud, if you're willing to put your boots on, and kids will put their boots on, and if you're careful, you can go down and walk around the rocks, and you'll turn them over, and you'll find blennies, a little eel-like animal, or you'll see sea anemones, and those kinds of things. If you just show them that interest, it may spark the interest into maybe that someday they'll be leaders in some field in oceanography or fisheries or something, but you've got to understand the life on the planet if we're going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, and OMSI, kind of hidden back over there. We don't see it, but kind of a neat addition to the big picture.
Huge addition, yep. Yeah, I wish I could spend more time over there because I haven't spent the time. I'd like to see how they're coming along with. But, you know, the exposure is important. I just hope that it's a balanced exposure to it because you also have to live on the planet, which requires food. And I work a lot with the Department of Agriculture because fisheries is agriculture.
Yeah.
And so, but you need the good science to make sure that you don't over-harvest and that we're not upsetting the balance.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Thompson. Pleasure having you with me today on Connections.
Yep, thank you.
So as we sign off here today, remember, go to Lincoln County's website. You've got until December 31st to get those grandfathered applications in for short-term dwellings. We'll see you same time, same place next week on Lincoln County Connections every Thursday at 9 a.m. Have a great day.